Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner, and I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a great lineup of guests in store. We're talking to Karen Stevenson, who's going to tell us all about virtual offices. We're talking to Joseph Mackey. He's the author of a book about fools, something I can very well relate to. We're speaking to Elizabeth Scala, and she's a Reiki and better health expert. And we have a segment with two guests that are going to be talking about bipolar syndromes and mental health. Linda Katz, who herself is a surviving mental health victim. And we're speaking to Dawn DePasquale, who's a psychologist and psychiatrist. Finally, last but not least, we have our regular segment featuring Jason Dowd, his Dowd Holly Weird Report. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Stay tuned.
We have Karen Stevenson online. She's from a company that she's president of called CVOS. It's a virtual office business, and she's quite an interesting lady. Karen, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's really our pleasure. Can you tell us about how you help companies and people with your services?
I help them by saving the overhead cost of a permanent employee. Most places for an employee, you would have to pay taxes and benefits and other additional fees, whereas a virtual assistant, you can save on that and only pay for the time used.
So you are actually like their own private secretary, but you're without all the fringe benefits.
Yes.
And what are the two or three challenges that people have in the business that you can really help them with, your expertise?
Formatting documents, mass mail-ups, because that's very time-consuming. In some places, there's work overflow that, you know, if you're trying to make a deadline and you need an extra pair of hands, a virtual assistant is quite capable of helping out with that. And there's, you know, IT troubleshooting and many other things that can be done.
Do you work on a continuous basis usually or on just project by project?
Anything. I can do project by project, or I can be retainer, or, you know, manage travel, manage calendars, which are always ongoing things versus your project
one-off.
Like a formatting a document kind of thing.
Well, with the internet today, it really doesn't matter where they are or where you are. I mean, you can really pretty much do everything from any location.
It's true. It's true. I actually just went global about a week or two ago.
Wow.
Doing some work for somebody over in Australia, so it's fantastic.
Isn't that amazing with this it's come to? What have companies used in particular your service for? Can you give us a few ideas and what they love about using your service?
The last couple of clients I've had have been internet research, minutes from videos, just to get some important information from it that they weren't thinking about at the time doing it, mass mail-ups, as I mentioned, and just a little bit of troubleshooting MS Office issues.
You're based in Toronto, Canada, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you have clients here in the States?
Yes. Actually, I have two at the moment, yeah.
Well, that's very good, because, I mean, Canada is certainly a civilized country.
Yeah, it is.
And the Australia is okay, too. Of course, that's where they send all their criminals.
Yeah, once upon a time, yeah.
Now, your business, it's called CVOS. Do you have a website you could tell us about?
I do. It's www.kscvosinc.com.
Okay, can you say that once again so everybody got it real clearly?
Sure. It's www.kscvosinc.com.
Very good. And is it best to contact you through the internet, or is there a phone number you'd like to give us, or what's the best way to get through to you?
The best way is probably by email. I check that almost 24/7,
okay.
Whereas phone is a little bit awkward depending on where you are and what noise background.
Sure.
So the email would be ks@kscvosinc.com.
Very, very good, Karen. And finally, is there any particular area that you shine in? I mean, in any particular expertise that you have that somebody could really want to use?
I would say anything to do with a computer. I'm probably your girl.
So could you do websites?
I don't do, if you have a template, like I created my own with GoDaddy as a template. But in terms of building it from scratch with something like WordPress, I can recommend you to a great person to do it.
Okay, but you're proficient in Excel and Word and how about PowerPoint?
Oh, yes. Anything that's MS Office and a lot of the offshoots, so like Visio.
So if someone needs a good presentation to be done, you're the person to call and you can make that, because that's kind of hard if people really aren't familiar with it.
Yes.
Well, Karen, thank you so very much for coming on the show. You were great, and I think a lot of people can certainly get a lot of use from your service, and you're not going to have to pay those taxes and Obamacare and all the fringes that can add like 40%. It can add like 40% to the cost. So it's, aside from being a great cost saver, you're getting someone who really knows what they're doing. Thank you so very much, Karen.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem, a way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a really fun guest online. We're going to be speaking to Joseph Mackey. Joseph has written a book about fools in our society, and I think all of us have known a fool or two. If you've known me, you definitely have. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I actually had a personalized license plate for a long time that was moron.
No kidding.
I did.
Wow.
Now tell us about your book and about your insight on this.
Basically, it was just something that I came up with. It started out as a joke between me and a friend of mine when we were in college. His name is Dave Chandra. This is when we were going to FAU and Boca Raton together.
Uh-huh.
It started off with, he made this joke about a guy who dropped his suitcase in a toilet on the tri-rail. And we started laughing about that, and, eventually there were more stories. And after college was over, I decided to, write some of them down and in a book, and make up some other stuff as I went along.
Well, there are certainly enough idiots in this world. There's no question there. I don't know if you realize, but that there are far more horses' asses than there are horses in this world.
That's true.
That's right.
Sure.
A lot of them aren't attached to horses. In fact, if you've looked at our website for the show, I have a little section of events, and there's a little link to someone who clicked on my driving, made a critique of my driving, and I think I definitely fit the fool. I haven't posted it on their website. So tell us, what are some of the best experiences in your book that you've spoken about, written about?
Let's see.
Give us some examples.
Well, there was the beginner, the guy dropping a suitcase in the toilet.
That's good.
let's see, there was a guy sat on a plate of pasta.
What did he do? What did he do?
Sat on a plate of pasta.
Okay.
It's hard to check. There's a lot of them.
I know that if you go on Google Images and you Google moron license plate, you'll actually see my car when I drove into a lake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's on the Internet. Oh, it doesn't show it to me. It doesn't point it to me, but it was me. I actually drove into a lake with the rear end of the car sticking up in the air, and it said moron on the back.
Oh, my God. That must have been quite the experience.
Well, I thought, you know, when I saw your bio, I figured you wrote about me, so I wanted to have a chance to explain it.
Oh, God.
Now, I guess you write about, according to what I was reading, about people on the highway that cut across four lanes of traffic.
Yeah, actually what happened with that was a friend of mine was riding with this friend of his, who we always referred to as his idiot friend. I finally asked him what his name was. The guy, he says his name was Chris. And my friend's name's Keith.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that actually happened to Keith. His friend was driving and just decided to cut across four lanes of traffic to make a left turn.
Oh, my God. Well, many, many years ago, I had kind of a neat experience. This was a real old lady, so I guess you could attest some of it to Alzheimer's, maybe. But I was in a parking lot of a department store in Beverly Hills, California. And there was probably 50, 60 cars in the row. And I was at the beginning of the row, and this old lady was at the far end, and she backed up. And I thought any second she was going to stop, but she backed the entire length past 50 or more cars and rear-ended me.
Oh, my God.
It was kind of like Demolition Derby.
Luck. Oh, my God. What rotten luck that you would be the one she rear-ended.
Yeah, I didn't even honk the horn. I kind of froze. I said any second she's going to stop, but she didn't.
Plenty of examples on the road of people not using their full intelligence.
I like the guy that dropped his suitcase in the toilet. Did he retrieve it?
Apparently someone else did. Well, that's according to Dave. I don't know how much of that's true. I certainly wouldn't do that favor for someone.
What's your favorite fool story?
Well, my favorite would probably be the ending, where some guy, he ends up not paying attention, and he ends up being hit by a bus. And he's not hurt, but... my friend Dave happens by and called him a fool.
Well, he probably was. Well, Joseph, how can people read your book? I understand it's free. How can they get to it?
Actually, it's on Smashwords.com. It's actually no longer free.
Okay, well, that's good. You should get paid for it because you did a lot of work in compiling this.
Right.
Smashwords.com. And they can buy it on that line? Is it an e-book or what?
It is an e-book. Eventually, I'd like to have some physical copies printed up and put in some bookstores. But right now, it's just online.
All right. Well, Joseph, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and teaching us all about people like me. Thank you again, and have a great day.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to RealtyCrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's RealtyCrisis.com, RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar. and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking presently to Elizabeth Scala. She's a registered nurse, certified health and wellness coach, and a Reiki master teacher. And she's written two books, and she's going to talk to us about helping individuals embody holistic living and embrace their own self-care. Thank you for coming on the show, Elizabeth.
Oh, you're welcome, Stuart. I'm happy to be here, and thank you, everyone, for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do? It sounds very, very interesting to me.
Sure, I'd love to. So I am a registered nurse, first and foremost, by training and trade, and actually had a very tumultuous start to my career.
Really? Tell us about that.
What's that?
How was it tumultuous?
Well, it actually was me having physical health, which I like to describe was sort of in the toilet, both physically,
really?
Spiritually, emotionally, kind of on this emotional roller coaster ride, coming home and fighting or crying, feeling angry, upset, and just, you know, really not being as productive in my job as a nurse as I probably could and should have been caring for patients.
Sure. So you've overcome that.
Yeah. So that actually has led me to where I am today, which I kind of left the bedside nursing role and went and took some part-time work, which was pretty risky and a little scary. However, it gave me time to really put things in perspective and make sure that my priorities were aligned with a healthy lifestyle, which meant putting myself first. So here I am. I am now a health coach and wellness coach, life coach for healthcare providers.
Well, that's very good. But do you concentrate on exercise and diet? What do you do to, in a few words, that would make someone have a healthier lifestyle?
Actually, I focus more on the fundamentals, and what I mean by that is the things that lead up to those exercise and nutrition kind of goals. Lots of times people want to eat healthy and want to be moving the body, but really aren't even in the mindset yet of change. So I kind of help people.
That's me. I think
clear.
About it a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. So moving that thinking to actually doing. So I help with those sorts of fundamentals to change.
And tell me, what is Reiki exactly?
Reiki is actually a healing modality which involves either light touch or hands above the body. The recipient remains fully closed. And the goal of it is to really help the body rest so it can be balanced on every level, energetic, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, just really relaxing.
How would it help you if your hands are above the body? You can't
because
feel anything, can you?
Reiki is actually energetic. You don't actually have to manipulate anything or have any physical touch. And it's this universal life force energy just being fully supported and connected for optimal healing.
I see. That's very interesting. Now, you're located in Baltimore, correct?
Yes, just north of Baltimore, but I am in Baltimore city area.
And how can people learn more about you and contact you to try to get healthier?
They can look for me on the computer on my website, which is just my name, ElizabethScala.com. And from the connecting page there, there's all of my social media and all sorts of ways to get in touch.
That's ElizabethScala.com. And Elizabeth, you've written a couple books, too. Are they for sale on your website?
They are. They are for sale on my website and through Amazon. One of them is Back to the Basics, a pocket guide to self-care, and it gives 12 easy, practical, and quick tools for self-care and healthy living.
Very, very good. Well, I really enjoyed speaking to you, and I think everyone got a lot out of this, and I've got to learn to be a little healthier and to actually act rather than just have the thoughts about it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Stuart.
Thank you for coming on the show. You have a wonderful day.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, we have a very interesting guest on the line. We're speaking to Linda Baron Katz. And Linda is a person who suffers from manic depression. I guess that's commonly known as bipolar. And she has written a book and has quite an interesting story to tell us. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
Oh, it is our pleasure to have you. Tell me, you have been suffering for some time with a mental illness. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you've gone through?
Well, basically, mental illness started within my family. I think maybe when my grandfather used to live, when he was alive during the wars and everything, I remember he had a terrible time. But nobody knew he knew about mental illness very much then, and nobody spoke about it.
Well, when you say mental illness, you're suffering from manic depression.
Yes, I suffer from manic depression.
And that's kind of the Gucci word for that now, is bipolar.
Yes.
And has this stigmatized you with other people, or how has that affected you?
Yes, I think during my single years, after I was diagnosed, was very hard on me because most people, once I said something about my bipolar, men used to run away from me. They would ask me questions. Can you handle children? Can you discipline the child? Can you hold down a job? This was like dating in the Orthodox Jewish community. And these were great concerns. But I also had some stigma issues of my own. I didn't at first want to meet someone with a mental illness, but I changed my attitude, and I got involved in organizations like NAMI, where they had something called the Friendship Network.
I see.
And I dated men from there, and I realized that being with a mental illness has its good side too, because that way two people can understand one another, can support one another, can share things with.
So are you married now, Linda?
Yes, I'm married.
And is your husband also bipolar?
No, my husband has dysthymia. It's a case of depression.
Okay. Now, is he taking medicine to, you know, try to
help him? Yes, he's also taking medicine.
And are you also taking medicine?
Yes, I am. Till this day, yes, I am.
Now, so, you know, how old were you when you were diagnosed with this condition?
I was 24 years old.
Well, so you had it for most of your childhood and your teen years.
Yes. Even when I was in elementary school or high school or college, I still had the depression signs in me. And people could see that on the outside, that I was a depressed type of person. Mostly because my mother was the one who was diagnosed with depression, a mental illness.
I think this, from what I've seen and observed, that this seems to pass through with the mothers to the women very commonly.
Can you repeat that?
I know it seems to pass from women to girls. It seems to quite often. I've noticed that.
Yes, it is. And it is hereditary. But I don't know how much of my mom's illness got into me, but that changed my life. And when I was little, I had some fear that her illness would have an impact on me. But I didn't know that it would. In the process, I would also become mentally ill.
Do you and your husband have children?
No.
Are you planning on having children?
Well, I got pregnant once, but the fetus was not doing well, and I had to terminate it. And I struggled hard to get pregnant again, but the treatments, going for treatment after treatment, affected my mental health, I had to.
You know, people that are listening, our listeners, what are some of the warning signs that they should look for? Maybe they have undiagnosed mood orders or disorders. What should people look for?
They should look for irritability. They should look for if a person's starting to say, make up names that are not real, spending a lot of their money on stuff that they really don't need, such as shopping sprees.
Well, that can be mental illness. I can have a few ex-wives.
Yes.
I can attest to that.
Yes.
And you've written a book, haven't you, which I think is very interesting coming from your perspective. Could you tell us about your book?
Yes, my book is mostly a memoir of my experiences on how I got through the challenges in life and the heartbreaks with having a mental illness, how I also changed the fear and the stigma, how that was took place in my recovery, and how I became to have a satisfying and productive life, working in the mental health field, coming up with events in the Jewish community to teach people, to educate people about mental illness. And the way I look at it is recovery from mental illness is not an ending.
Do you get good support from your temple, from the Jewish community? Have they been supportful to you?
Oh, yes. Even today, I run my own peer support group for Jewish adults and families with mental health issues today. And I did events at my synagogue.
What do you call your group, the Meshuggahnas?
What?
Is your group called the Meshuggahnas?
No.
No? I was just checking.
No. It's funny. But no. No.
Okay.
That's what society picks up. They think people are, not crazy, violent, but that's not what mental illness is. People have to understand that it is an illness and that you need to take medication for it. And not just medication, you need support, a support network.
Well, I think you're certainly right about that. I mean, I think everyone listening here, we're all probably a little nuts, but it's the main thing is that you recognize this and you're getting care and you're getting treatment and you're helping other people, which I think is a marvelous thing. Can you tell us the name of your book and how people can buy it or get to read it?
Yes. They could go straight to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, or they could go to my website. It's surviving-mental-illness.com.
All right, so that's surviving-mental-illness.com. And that's the name of your book, right? Surviving Mental Illness?
Yes.
Well, this has really been enlightening, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, Linda. And if you didn't catch it, we're speaking to Linda N. Baron Katz, and she is a survivor of mental illness. She has written an amazing book, and I urge everybody to go to her website and look at it. Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem, a way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I have Dawn DePasquale on the phone. She's quite an interesting lady. She's the founder, CEO, and clinical director of Bell Mental Health Associates. She's a licensed mental health counselor with a master's degree in clinical psychology. Her focus is on the wellness of the entire person, not just presenting a problem. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, it is our pleasure at having you. Tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Well, basically, I run a mental health clinic right now. And one of the things that we really try to do is we try to kind of treat anybody who comes in the door. We see a lot of children. We see a lot of adults. We see couples. A lot of what we focus on here is not so much medication, but instead helping people to really understand what the root of their problem is, getting them to find some real solutions, and then helping them to get back into the life that they want to live.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I know so many of these places, all they want to do is drug you and give you one medicine, then you need another medicine to counteract that medicine, and then the side effects, if you look on the TV commercials, are horrific.
Well, it's really tough, you know, because if you give someone the wrong medication, it can actually create the symptoms of the disorder. So, you know, if I've got somebody in front of me and I think they have bipolar and I put them on bipolar medication, it can actually cause them to show symptoms of bipolar. So like you said, then you just get the meds up, then the meds get up, and then we add new meds, and, you know, before you know it, they've gained 20 pounds, they're sick, you know, they don't want to go to work, and the whole quality of life just goes downhill from there.
Oh, sure. Well, bipolar, that's kind of, I think, the designer word. It's manic depressive, isn't it?
Yes, it was. I love how mental health works because, you know, we get a diagnosis and then it becomes part of the vernacular, and then people say, oh, I don't want to be called that anymore. You know, the first diagnoses were idiot and lunacy. Those were actual diagnoses, and then...
Well, my father always called me an idiot.
And, you know, in some places it's considered a compliment. But, you know, it got to a place where people said, oh, geez, you know, I don't like that term, that manic depression. It's not good for me. So we came up with the sparkly new word, which is bipolar. And like you said, it's essentially manic depression. It sounds a little more palatable, and luckily the drug companies have made a bazillion medications to go with it. But it's still essentially the same exact, you know, diagnosis and disorder.
So you actually treat them without drugs, is that right?
Yeah, mostly what one of the tactics that I use a lot of is called CBT, and that's cognitive behavioral therapy. So basically what it is kind of figuring out what the internal causes are for the behavior, and then we basically rewire the brain to think a different way. You know, so let's say you're having panic attacks. There's usually a reason that you're having them. You know, our bodies are wired to, in fact, have a panic attack if we were in danger. So it's kind of figuring out, okay, well, how did that system get tripped off so much? And how do we kind of dumb the system down so that the person can make better choices? You know, okay, this is something I should be really upset about. There's a guy with a chainsaw. No, that's just a mouse. There's no need to be upset.
Now, do you think that most of this, or a lot of the people you see, it's genetic? Or do you think it's acquired?
You know, it tends to be kind of 50-50. I mean, I work with families where, you know, you could have three kids clearly raised by the same parents, and it's their, you know, not only the genetics, but their response to the environment. You know, you can have kids in a house where there's a lot of physical abuse, let's say a lot of substance abuse, and it's kind of 50-50. Some kids may end up abusing drugs. Some kids may completely turn their back on drugs. Some kids may become drug counselors, you know. It's basically being aware of, it's really about, I always think of it like, you know, a quarter. You know, when you look at a quarter and you look right at the middle, it's got like copper and it's got a little bit of silver. And I think we're all aiming at that middle. And some people are either heads or tails and they're too extreme. So it's kind of like, okay, what has your background taught you? So if you know, well, maybe I'm predisposed to have substance abuse in my life, then if I don't want that, what kind of steps do I have to take so that I don't indulge in that and I don't become addicted?
I've seen so many alcoholics that have come from an alcoholic family. It seems to kind of pass down through the generations.
Well,
I guess that's because what they learn and see.
Absolutely. You know, if your family teaches you that when we have a problem, this is how we handle it, that's what you're going to go to. Even if it's subconsciously. You know, I've worked with a lot of alcoholics who will say, I had no intention of being an alcoholic. This all started out, you know, thinking, well, geez, you know, I've had a rough day at work. I'm allowed to have a drink. And then not realizing, wow, I'm drinking more and more. The situation at work is getting worse and worse. And now I'm setting off other problems in my life. And it can be really sad to kind of look at it. And sometimes people don't realize how deeply embedded it is in the way that they cope with things.
Of course. Now, where were you located?
We're located in Swansea, Massachusetts.
Okay. And now you do a lot of group therapy as well as one-on-one, don't you?
We do some. You know, we're trying to actually start some new groups to deal with specific things like Asperger's, you know, or support groups for people who maybe are the partner of someone with a mental health disorder to help them in terms of understanding, okay, this is the person with disorder, these are things I can expect, I would like some support so that I understand, yes, not me, this is something this other person is going through, and here's how to handle it.
I think that's very important because so many spouses of someone who has an illness or a problem like this ends up taking the brunt of this abuse.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of the time, the partner in the situation may also be enabling the behaviors, and they may not even recognize it. you know, so sometimes if I'm treating someone individually, I'll say, hey, can you bring in, whether it's your primary caregiver or your partner or somebody, because I think they need to understand where this is going. And sometimes they don't recognize, you know, well, geez, by maybe giving someone some extra pocket money, you know, you're helping them to spend. Or
enabling,
maybe
by, sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and enabling comes in so many forms, even if you're just not calling someone on the behavior or you just ignore it.
Right, that I understand that. You know, I'm reading your bio, and I find something that I like very much about what you do, that you state that everyone is an individual. In other words, you don't have a cookie-cutter way of treating people.
Oh, definitely not. I've been doing this for a little while, and, you know, I think it's kind of my privilege to work with people, and people are just these amazing little puzzles, and everybody is different. You know, I can be here for 12 hours a day, and every single person has a different take on something, and, you know, even within their own lives, they respond to things differently, and I think a lot of mental health sometimes gets very repetitive, because people think, oh, geez, this is the disorder, take out the book, you know, read this, let's see how it goes, and I find that's not always the case. You know, you may have somebody that, sure, the book technique works. You know, I might have somebody that I say, hey, you know what, you really need to go boxing, or you really need to, you know, go to the zoo. This is what you got to do next. And it's all based on that individual person. I kind of tell my patients, look, you know, if it doesn't work, you tell me immediately, because I work for you. So if I'm not helping you, you need to let me know so I can find a new tactic.
You sound extremely good at what you do. Now, I know you're working on two books. Have you finished those yet, or are they coming?
They're coming. The Bats in the Belly should be out by fall. We're just working on some final art for it because it's a kid's book. And The Year of Fear, I'm actually adding in a little bit more because I had somebody I was working with on it, and they really did some phenomenal things that I think need to go into it.
Well, you really seem very excellent. And tell us about your website, how people can learn more about you, Dawn.
Sure. We're located at www.bellmentalhealth.com, and that's Bell like a bell you ring. And if you go on there, you can find actually a lot of information. You can, you know, find ways to make an appointment. You can look at our employees. And I also write a blog there called The Comfy Couch, in addition to writing some stuff on examiner.com. So sometimes you can go in there and, you know, let's say you just have a question about something that happened recently. You know, whenever we have a big tragedy, I usually write something about that. Or it could just be, you know, geez, my kid isn't listening. What should I do? So it's really quick stuff. And the website is also getting a new feature where you can go into YouTube. We have some small, what we call mental health minutes. So just basic kind of stuff, little videos you can watch that kind of tell you quickly, okay, here's how to curb a panic attack. Here's how to find out, is this depression or are you just a little sad? You know, really quick stuff, because I kind of see us as solution makers. You know, we want to find out what's wrong. We want to treat it. You know, we're not going to waste your time and make you sit on a couch and talk about your mom and, you know, stuff that maybe doesn't matter. I'd rather see people say, hey, here's my problem. Okay, here's a very clear and precise way to do it. We'll help you tune your skills. And then, you know, I always tell the patients, I really don't want to see you in the clinic. I want to see you outside. I want to see you enjoying your life. I want to see you having fun with other people. Because we're in the business of going out of business. We kind of want to see people healthier, so we're not needed anymore.
Well, that's the ultimate goal.
Absolutely.
Dawn, thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, we're talking to Dawn DePasquale. And you go to her website, Bell, like the bell you ring, B-E-L-L, mentalhealth.com. And she's quite an experienced and excellent, I can hear right now just by talking to her, mental health counselor. Dawn, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
RealtyCrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Stay tuned for our weekly segment with Jason Dowd presenting his Holly Weird Report.
Following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome to another edition of the Holly Weird Report and Strange News from Around the World, where we keep you scratching your head. Today I wanted to start with an update from Hollywood on the death of the Glee star Corey Monteith. He was found dead last week from unknown circumstances. The initial coroner's report found that no natural causes for his death. This week, the toxicology report was released and it showed that he died from a heroin and alcohol combination. It's sad to see another Hollywood star gone from drug abuse. More Hollywood news, Emma Roberts, daughter of Julia Roberts, was arrested in Montreal on domestic abuse charges. Really? Little Emma Roberts, who is 5'3" and about 100 pounds wet. Her boyfriend, the alleged victim, Evan Peters, made the call. That's like a pit bull calling the pound to arrest a chihuahua that's been attacking him. That must have been embarrassing enough, though. Emma was later released and the charges were dropped. Now that they are working together to work out their problems, to save the relationship, and to finish the movie they are working on, The American Horror Story, which is due out later in 2013. Now let's go to some music news. Stevie Wonder decided and announced that he will boycott the state of Florida after George Zimmerman's not guilty verdict. This lands Wonder the prestigious award of Crybaby of the Week. And here's why. This isn't a race thing. Zimmerman had the right to defend himself upon being attacked. So because you think that's unfair, you're going to punish the millions of Florida fans that love your music, who had nothing to do with this case, and those who also agree with your opinion, the ability to watch and support your career in music. What the heck, man? You're cutting off your nose to spite your face. But don't worry, Florida doesn't want to help you anyways, and honestly, if you don't come back here, I don't think anybody's going to care now anyways. What a crybaby. Now for some stupid news from around the world. This one starts at Newport Richey, Florida. The Pasco County Sheriff's Department has a Facebook page where they post Fugitive of the Day. Last week, they posted a mugshot of Matthew Oliver, who was accused of robbery. Since it's a corporation, the page has led to many great leads and arrests for the Sheriff's Department. But this time, the Sheriff's Department couldn't get a better lead. Matthew Oliver himself commented on the post. Himself! Now, obviously, everybody knows when you have a Facebook page, the About section has your phone number, email address, sometimes your physical address, business places, and everything else. It's like dropping your wallet at the scene of the crime. Anyways, Oliver, on his comment, wrote, "I was at the hospital at the time of the theft, and he would hold the county responsible for posting this photo." So, obviously, the story didn't check out because they arrested him 2 days later with his information that they did find in his About section. This will surely land him in the criminal infamy. You will surely see this guy in the World's Dumbest Criminals on True TV very soon, because someone with this much intelligence is just too important not to show off. Unfortunately, it keeps Florida in one of the top states for stupid criminals. This is the first time the cops say that the criminal ever posted on their own photo, and it will probably be the last time because this guy was definitely made an example of. Next time, Matthew, just leave it alone. What you did was no better than playing hide-and-seek, and you kept talking or waving your hands out loud so people could find you and make yourself visible. Now here's something that will make you go, "What?" Yes, if you're an animal lover, you will be very excited to hear this news. And I'm not talking about someone who adores animals. I'm talking someone who loves animals. Germany is hitting the spotlight for the story as they are opening bestiality brothels across the country, says Daily Mail. They are also called erotic zoos. These brothels offer a wide range of animals from horses to snakes, anything to help you with your sick obsession. I hope they don't have goats because you know them, they'll eat anything. But seriously, this sick house of sexual preferences is making waves, upsetting PETA and other animal rights groups, saying it will have a profound impact on animals. Gee, thanks for pointing out the obvious there. I almost have to think for myself on that one. These brothels give a new meaning to rearing animals and riding off into the sunset. So, if you disagree with them as I do, contact your local animal rights group, and maybe together we can convince them that this is inhuman. Well, that's it for this week's segment on the strange and unusual from Hollyweird to Timbuktu and beyond. Tune in next time for some more stories that will make you feel like you're a saint.
That's all, folks!
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
In closing, I want to make everyone aware of some new programs available for refinancing property. We've gone through some tough times, and I've been accused of being very pessimistic when I didn't have a lot of faith all these government programs that have been there to help the underwater and problemed borrowers with their homes. And unfortunately, my pessimism was correct because they were dismal failures. Now I think that they've finally got it right. The regulators have a couple new programs that might really help people if they don't mess it up. If you happen to have a loan that's insured by HUD and you're paying a high interest rate, you can do what's known as a streamline refinance. Now, it doesn't matter how underwater you are. The house could be worth one-third of what you owe, but if you want to keep that property, as long as you have had a good payment record on that mortgage, in other words, not more than one late payment in the last 24 months or none in the last 3 months, you can then refinance that mortgage as a streamlined refinance to the current interest rate. That means it doesn't matter what your FICO score is. It doesn't matter what your employment is. You don't need a hardship. But if you've had a good payment record on that mortgage, you can refinance it to the current interest rate. Now, there's also a program offered by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that is for people that have had in trouble and have had problems with their loans. If you are 3 months to 24 months behind on your mortgage and things have turned around for you and you feel that you want to keep your property, they will allow you to refinance it to the current market rate. They're not going to look at employment. They're not going to look at hardship. They're not going to look at anything. What they are going to look at is the fact that you want to keep your house. And this is the last chance for a lot of people. It's a chance for you to get back on your feet, and it's a lifeline that the government hasn't thrown up until this point. This is a program that's available just this month, starting in July of this year, going through about August, I believe, of 2015. But finally, this is a chance for people that are in that position. So if you can take advantage of it and you've been given the runaround in the past, this is a good way for you maybe to keep your house and to move on with your life. Thanks a lot, and please come back next week. We've got an exciting lineup in store.